barbarian tribes of Rome, the Burgundians and the Carolingians. Well, Pepin III was not satisfied with the status quo. He was the effective leader of the Frankish kingdom, as his father had been, yet he did not have the title of king. At the same time, if he attempted to usurp the Merovingian king, this would lead to an uprising amongst the other powerful aristocratic families within the kingdom. If he was going to be king, there needed to be an heir of legitimacy. Pepin had an inspired idea, sent a letter to the Pope asking, "Shouldn't we, Carolingians, hold not just the substance of power, but the royal title as well?" Pope Zachary, 741-752, replied, quote, "It is better if the title of king pertained to the one who effectively held power, and not to the one who had lost it," end of quote. Using the Pope's answer as a pretext and legitimization, Pepin deposed the last Merovingian king and assumed the title of King of the Franks himself in 751, making him the first king of the Carolingian dynasty. This papal endorsement was further cemented by Zachary's successor, Pope Stephen II, 725-757, traveled to Rome over the Alps to anoint Pepin with oil, thereby giving the full papal blessing to his reign. This also created a precedent of popes anointing and legitimizing kings, a small step from acknowledging a ruler as the Holy Roman Emperor. In fact, the first of them would be none other than Pepin's son, Charlemagne. On Christmas Day in the year of 800, Pope Leo III crowned Charlemagne, Charles the Great, as the new Emperor of Rome in St. Peter's Basilica. It is often cited as one of the most consequential moments in all of medieval history, and while the event does spark the collective imagination, what was done on that day was less about a new Rome moving forward and more about the acknowledgement of what Charlemagne had already done up to that point. As might be expected, the rise of Charlemagne was not smooth. Pepin III, upon his death, had two sons, Charles and Carloman, and they initially split the kingdom, and Charles taking the core of the Frankish kingdom and Carloman taking the lands that had been conquered by Pepin III and Charles Martel. The first issue occurred when an illegitimate son of Pepin named Grifo felt he should be included in the partition of power. The two brothers quickly put down their half-brother, but quickly afterwards they began to fight each other. Before things escalated too much, Carloman died of natural causes in 771. Carloman did have young children, but fearing for their safety, Carloman's wife, a Lombard by birth, escaped with her children into Lombardy. This made it relatively simple for Charles to come in and reintegrate the territory into his kingdom. This also created one of a number of possible pretexts for an invasion of Lombardy later in his reign. Once his own territory was solidified, Charles began the fight wars of conquest and conversion. In total, he'd fought 54 military campaigns over the course of 43 years. For example, he fought a long and bitter campaign against the Germanic Saxon, beginning in 772. The Franks had a history of raiding Saxon lands, but this was full-scale invasion, with an aim to both conquer land and to convert the pagan Saxons to Christianity. This campaign would go into fits and starts for over 30 years, until 804. In 773, Charlemagne invaded Lombardy, and by 774, he'd conquered the entire kingdom, assuming the title of King of the Lombards in addition to King of the Franks. As Charlemagne continued to rule, he came to understand, with so many different people and cultures within his kingdom, he needed to set up his government like a homogeneous kingdom, and more like an empire, and demanded obedience and some standardization, even as it took differences of cultures and language into account. He looked at the only great example he knew and began modeling his kingdom after Rome. Charlemagne worked to make the royal court and his courtiers key players in government and politics, creating an impression of consensus. He also created annual assemblies at which the people were shown to be given input into the royal decisions. The result of these assemblies were widely published, and key members of the Frankish people were also made into vassals, rewarding powerful individuals and stemming any possible dissent by folding them into the government itself. Envoys were also consistently sent out to report back to Charlemagne on whether those under him were keeping their promises and doing their duties. Charlemagne also set up a palace complex in Aachen, which happened to be a former Roman military encampment, starting in 794, which was heavily inspired by Rome and Byzantium. The vision was so extensive that crews were sent to Ravenna, a site full of incredible Roman and Byzantine art and architecture, and they simply moved many of these items to Aachen. It is notable that Charlemagne made a capital in Aachen as there was no Frankish tradition of a set capital as there was in Rome and Byzantium. Aachen was also built with learning and education in mind. The complex was made to be open to all and not only brought the government together, but brought scholars from all regions to the city, many at Charlemagne's behest. Nobles coming there on business would often bring their sons with them to gain an education. This centralized focus on education would help usher in a period that has become known as the Carolingian Renaissance. While it is undeniable that the coronation of Charlemagne as emperor in 800 was a major event, it highlighted something that had, in effect, already happened. Charlemagne knelt before the tomb of St. Peter, on which rested the imperial crown of the Roman Empire. And as he rose, Pope Leo III slipped the crown on Charlemagne's head and knelt down in homage to the Emperor Charlemagne. No pope before or since had done that. The multitude in St. Peter's cried out to Charles, the most pious Augustus, crowned by God. For Charlemagne, Burgundy was a valuable source of revenue and men with which to conduct his wars. In 773, he assembled a large army in Burgundy and set off to invade Italy, and Burgundy was more or less left to its own devices. Provided there were no overt attempts to mount any campaign for independence, taxes flowed smoothly. Charlemagne was content. Charlemagne would reign as an emperor until his death 14 years later. And during this time, he was understandably concerned about how the title would be passed down. Initially, he was not going to pass it along the title to any of his children, because as was common for the Carolingians and Merovingians before them, he intended to split up his empire amongst his sons in the smaller kingdoms. However, when all but one of the sons died young, it meant the entire empire would be left to Charlemagne's sole remaining son, Louis the Pious. 788-840, reigned 813-840. To ensure a smooth transition as a final emphasis on who could confer imperial power, Charlemagne crowned Louis himself as co-emperor in 813, with no doubt aimed to demonstrate that the emperor, not the Pope, had had this ability. Now, the sources for this: The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture, by Owens; Attila the Hun, by Worrell; The Burgundians, by Charles River; The History of the Ostrogoths, by Burns; and The History of the Vandals, by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.